Moncrief on News Talk.
When a woman considers having a child, how sure does she have to be? You can assess if you have the required resources, room at home, access to childcare, enough of an income. But that's not the same as wanting. Is more than 50% enough? Ruthie Ackerman is the author of a book which deals with that question. It's called The Mother Code. Ruthie, good afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me.
In your research, Ruthie, do most women have doubts prior to conceiving?
Absolutely. That was the surprising thing for me, because I thought there was something wrong with me because I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a mother. But in my research, I found out that actually maternal ambivalence is totally normal. And most women don't know if they want to be mothers.
Right. And what are there common themes to that in the sense of what they would have doubts about?
Absolutely. Having enough of a support system at home and in their community, having the right kinds of policies for paid maternal leave, for childcare, all kinds of things. Also, looking around at TV and movies, it looks like moms aren't having a good time. Moms are told they have to annihilate their dreams, annihilate their identities. And most of us would love to be moms, but also have a lot of other things in our lives too.
Yeah. Though, I mean, you could split those things apart and say some of them are practical considerations that you can dispassionately say, yes, I will have enough support, I will have the childcare. And is there a practical aspect to it that you can establish whether those factors are in place or not, but then an almost emotional aspect to it? Because if you've never been a mother before, you don't know whether you're going to like it, whether you're going to be any good at it. And that's a pretty profound doubt, I would have thought.
Absolutely. We don't know what it's going to be like until we're in it. And we're told we're going to have this aha moment, this alarm clock or sign or signal. And many women don't have that. I know I didn't have that. And I wasn't sure, looking at my own mother, looking at my grandmother, my great grandmother, I wasn't sure, since they had had so much trauma and struggle raising their children, whether I would have that too.
Yeah. And so tell us a bit about that. What kind of trauma and struggle did your mother and grandmother have?
Well, the opening line of my book is, I come from a long line of women who abandoned their children. And that was the family mythology I'd been told, that my great-grandmother, my grandmother, and my mother had all abandoned their kids. And so I thought there was a flaw in my genetic code, which is where I got the name of my book, The Mother Code, because I thought there was a curse or some sort of flaw in my genetic code. And I needed to figure out whether I could somehow overcome that in order to have a baby.
Yeah. Did they abandon their children?
Well, that was another piece of the book. I had to unravel some of that family lore and figure out that, by my estimation, by my modern day understanding of abandonment, I don't actually think that they did. But remember that the things we have today, FaceTime, telephone technology, internet, weren't available in my great-grandmother's day and even in my grandmother's day. And so I actually think that they didn't really abandon their children. They were looking for better jobs, ways to support them. But I also understand why their children might have felt abandoned.
Okay.
And so I had a lot of compassion for them.
Did you feel abandoned?
I definitely did feel abandoned. And I did because my mother struggled with a lot of mental health issues. I also have a half brother who I talk about in the book, who I call Adam. And he had a triple whammy of rare genetic disorders. And so she spent a lot of time trying to care for him. So I understood that my mother had her own trauma to deal with and was dealing with my brother as well and her own divorce. But I also still felt that sense of abandonment.
Yeah. OK. And so then even to come to terms with that, did you have to go through, do you go through a process of forgiving your mother for this, or is it understanding it the best you can do?
Yeah, Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's empathy. I think it's understanding. I think it's now being a mother myself and seeing it for myself, being in her shoes a little bit and thinking, you know what? All moms have it hard. And so I think it's an evolution.
Yeah. So in your own case, you had been in, am I correct in this? You had been in a relationship with a man who didn't want children.
Yeah, I was married to a man who didn't want kids. I thought originally that I didn't want kids for all the reasons I just told you, and eventually decided that, you know what, I might want kids. And there's a scene in the book where I'm sitting in my therapist's office and she says, on a scale of 0 to 100, how badly do you want a baby? And I said 55%. Which I thought meant do not have a baby because you're only 55% sure. That doesn't sound like a lot. Mm. But she said, why is 55% not enough?
Yeah.
And that really blew me away.
And so then do you have your eggs frozen or you kind of weren't sure?
I had my eggs frozen. And I was one of the first to have my eggs frozen once the experimental label had been taken off. So I don't know how it is in Ireland, but here in the United States, the procedure was experimental until 2012, and I had mine done in early 2013. And so I was thinking both that I would freeze my eggs to preserve my fertility, but I would also freeze time to figure out whether my marriage was right for me.
Mm. And as it turned out, it wasn't, sadly.
No, it wasn't. But the other thing I want to say is that even once I figured out I did want children, I was willing to stay in my marriage because I loved my husband so much. I felt safe in our relationship. And I felt like I was being told as a woman to contort myself, to people please, and that I should be happy with what I was given. So I wasn't going to leave. He eventually left me.
Mm. Now, is that what changed your attitude in, or maybe rose the percentage, if you like, from 55 in relation to having children? Or what was it, a combination of factors?
Well, it was definitely a combination of factors. But I think that once I started down the path of figuring out whether I wanted to have children, I realized more and more that I thought that I did. But by the time I figured that out, I was in my late 30s by then. I was 39, almost 40 years old. And when I finally met the person who I'm married to now, his name is Rob, and we went back to the fertility doctor to thaw those frozen eggs I had frozen when I was 35, though we learned those eggs were inviable. And then I was in another position, which was, now I'm 41 years old. How am I going to try to become a mother at this point?
Mm. And so was it just like the old fashioned way, so to speak?
No. I mean, yes, we tried that, but that did not work. So we had to go back to the fertility doctor. We tried in vitro fertilization 2 different times. And by the way, this was really expensive. Again, I don't know what it's like in Ireland and the United States. Most of the time you're paying for that out of pocket. And just to thaw my eggs from the frozen egg procedure plus the 2 rounds of IVF was about $50,000. And by the time my doctor said to me, look, Ruthie, you can try again with your own eggs at 41 years old, you have a less than 10% chance at success. And that's going to cost you $25,000 more. So $75,000 total. Or you can try donor eggs, and that will be a 65% chance of success. And that is, you know, that would cost probably closer to $50,000, but we have a money back guarantee program. So if it doesn't work, at least you get your money back.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. A shrewd financial decision there. Also as well, being pregnant in your 40s. Now, there is an actual medical phrase. It's a geriatric pregnancy, which sounds appalling. But did you find there was this? Well, I suppose not to compare it to, but was there a bit of an attitude there that you were a bit old to be doing this?
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, it's funny because some of the other moms in my neighborhood, they talk about how they're geriatric pregnancies, too, and they're 35. And I was 43 by the time I had my daughter. And so it's like a whole swath of us, most of us actually in New York City, at least, it feels like are having our kids in the geriatric stage. But when it came down to the pregnancy itself, there were like almost no complications. Basically, there weren't any. So I feel like maybe it was a little overboard in terms of that label for me, but I also know a lot of women who do struggle in their 40s and earlier when during their pregnancies.
Mm. And during that period of pregnancy, is that if there were any lingering doubts at that stage, did that eradicate those doubts when you can feel the child?
Actually, I mean, yes and no. Yes, because I did start to feel a bond, but the big aha moment that I'd been waiting for actually didn't come until I was already a mother. And that was once I started to develop a more of a relationship with my daughter, the caretaking, the commitment it took to continue to love this person every day. So I feel like I became a mother through mothering. And that was the aha moment for me.
The name of the book.
Now I'm 155% sure.
The name of the book is The Mother Code. Ruthie Ackerman is the author. Ruthie, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.